you've got Whitey and Crides here at our ESPN 1320 studios. Johnny in Salt Lake City, where the Rivercats have already put a run up on the board, top of the first. How's it going there in Salt Lake City, Johnny?
Yeah, run in the first, and now we'll see what left-hander Matthew Gage can do. Gage will face a Salt Lake team that is in first place in the Southern Division, so pretty good ball club. Of course, we have the view of the Wasatch Mountains here with apparently just a little bit of snow up there, not a ton. It's just about melted. So
beautiful.
Always beautiful, though. Great backdrop.
I'm trying to make it sound good, Johnny. It's the bees. We hate the bees.
That's true, yeah.
Nothing ever changes. I don't care about the view of the Wasatch. That's the dreaded bees down on the field there.
Exactly.
I hate them. I wanted to take a moment to thank Johnny. I mentioned I was out there Saturday, and I do some work for Big Brothers Big Sisters, and I took my little brother Will out there, and we're at the game, and he had a great time, and I thought, hey, maybe we go by and see Johnny. He can see the booth, and I texted Johnny, said, sure. He actually said, I'm very busy. Who is this?
Please.
But then we sorted it
new
out.
New phone, who dis?
No, Johnny said, sure, come on by. And Johnny put Will on the air and interviewed him a little bit, and then, so anyway, it was a great time. I just want to apologize to you and also to Chip, the GM of the Rivercats, Johnny, because I didn't realize I grabbed a hat. I got home, and my wife said, you wore an A's hat to the Rivercats game. That's terrible.
Yeah.
And if I offended you or Chip or anyone, it was unintentional. I apologize.
Nah, not at all. The funny part about that interview was great with Will Smith, by the way. Great kid, and that was awesome to have him on the air. The great part was when I said, how long have you been a Warrior fan? 4 years? And you're like, he was six. The kid was six. That was the best. That was so great. That was wonderful. He's a great kid. That was fun.
I've loved the Warriors my whole life, said the 10-year-old. I hope so.
And he brought some luck. The Rivercats scored some runs. Or Shaw hit a home run when Will was up there.
That's awesome.
That was very nice of you, Johnny. And we had a great time at Raleigh Field. Interesting today with the trade deadline looming, the Cubs making it clear that they intend to get back, right, to the postseason, acquiring Jose Quintana from the White Sox for some top prospects. So how big of an impact is that going to have, Crides? And what's next, trade-wise?
Well, it actually impacts the Giants, but a number of teams around baseball would say, well, it affects the trade deadline pretty profoundly because it takes one of the arms that might have been available, premier arms, I should say, that might have been available off the market.
Johnny, what the heck just happened?
Double by that pesky Shane Robinson. Never liked him.
I always
for
hated
him down
him.
The left field line. Yep.
Despicable.
So.
So what this does is closes off one potential market for Johnny Cueto, to answer your question. The Cubs, I think it's a really interesting move because the Cubs traded away top prospects. The White Sox actually didn't make a bad deal here. They got some really, really good players, including, I believe, the Cubs' number one ranked prospect, who's an outfielder. But the Cubs are sending the clear signal that they're looking at their own standings and they're looking at the National League and saying, no, hang on a second. We can win our division. You know, with a little pitching, we win our division. If our offense bounces back even a little, then the only thing holding us back is our terrible rotation and, frankly, John Lackey, but that's a story for a different day. So they add Quintana. And to me, Johnny, they send a clear signal, for one thing, to their own clubhouse. You're in it. You're 43 and 45, but you're absolutely in it. So now let's go. Get in the playoffs with a playoff-tested, young but playoff-tested roster. And as the Giants know, you know, just get there and then see what happens.
And they're chasing the Brewers, too, right? So they feel good about their chance. Now the White Sox have to feel good, too, because the one guy – I mean, you talk about Jimenez, who was the Midwest League MVP last year. But the real guy in this one, I think, is Dylan Cease. He's the guy, 21 years old, and he was the guy that in our clubhouse, they're like, they traded Cease. They traded.
Oh, really?
They traded him. He's the guy that Sean, everybody was saying, he's the guy. Like, Jimenez is one thing, but Cease is the guy. That's the one guy you'll say, oh, they traded him down the road. He's the guy that they'll be like, wow, we got rid of that guy. So that's a great trade for the White Sox. And they got two other fringe guys that are infielders that are in A-ball, who knows what's going to happen. But those two guys, Jimenez and Cease, those are big-time prospects. That was a good trade for the White Sox.
Yeah, Jimenez, 20-year-old outfielder, number five prospect in baseball, according to Keith Law. And Cease, 1-2 with a 2.79 ERA. Single A. It sounded like something bad happened again there in Salt Lake City, Johnny.
Yeah, base hit by Ramon Flores. So it's first and third, nobody out against Gage. This is a very tough ballpark to pitch in. So, you know, it's always a task for pitchers. Their first time pitching here. Ball flies, and it's a hot day. It's one of the hottest days I ever remember in Salt Lake.
Really?
So the ball flies. This almost a mile above sea level anyway. Plus, with the hot air, it's going to be It's going to be interesting. There's another hit. No, nice play by the shortstop Caracudo for the 6-4 put out a run scores. It's now 1-1.
All right. Yeah. It ain't going to end 1-1 based on everything you're telling me. So
nope, this is going to be 9-7.
All hands on deck, Johnny. That's what if you're the manager, you know, you're watching your guy on the mound saying, "Yeah, I don't think it's going to be his night." I
mean, right. You have the nice thing is the All Star break. You have a rested bullpen. You don't want to use them all tonight. And hopefully Gage can. You know, I've seen guys. I saw Reinecker allow 7 runs in the first inning, and then he threw up 6 straight zeros. So you can come back too. So
they have a longer leash in some of these ballparks.
Sure.
Yes,
they do.
But Whitey, to your point, the Cubs essentially send a message to their to baseball, but most importantly to their own clubhouse, that they're not bailing out on the season. They added help, and they did it at the expense, Johnny, as you pointed out, of some really high-ranked prospects. So that happens. The where it affects the Giants is it may sound like a roundabout way of getting there, but if the Giants want to offload Johnny Cueto, the Cubs were one place where he could have landed. They would have had to want him, first of all, but if they wanted him, they had the ability to take on his salary. And they had the ability to roll the dice on his opt-out or his opt-in after the season. So I think from the Giants' perspective, that's a biggie. Because the Cubs could have been, as they look to retool their rotation, try and stay in it. It's a place where you could have considered, I mean, they can take on maybe $84 million.
That's right.
You know, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know, Johnny, if you've been in touch with your good friend Billy Bean, but it seems almost certain that Sonny Gray's gone, and even more certain that Yonder Alonso is gone, right? That pretty soon here that it just makes sense.
The All-Star game finished it off for Alonso. He's so gone.
For sure it did. And Sonny Gray's been pitching better too. So yeah, I'm sure that that they're going to deal Gray. What do you think they could get for Gray right now?
Like, top prospect.
Yeah.
And I said prospect. I think they could get a top prospect and then some other guys. And that would be the market for Sonny.
Does this with the Cubs getting Quintana, does this speed up the process? Does this because now there's one less pitcher on the market, and if you're the A's and you got a guy like Sonny Gray, are you saying, okay, we got to step it up here because there are fewer choices now to the teams that may want our guy?
Well, you know, it's tough to read. The read around baseball today was absolutely that. This kickstarts the process.
Mm-hmm.
No one actually expected a deal this quickly coming right out of the break. So, yeah, you should expect to see more names very soon. But you haven't seen a team say or do anything about it. Nobody saw this one coming either, so I'm prepared to be surprised. But I could see Sonny Gray moving very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And back to the Giants, and I think we talked about this last week on the baseball show. We were talking about the core, identifying the core, the Giants' core, that is the guys who you would not trade. And in the piece in the Merc, Sabian addressed the core. He was asked, is the core Bumgarner, Posey, and Crawford? And he basically said, yeah, what did he say? He said, that's a logical conclusion.
Yeah, that's a logical conclusion to draw.
So the reason I bring that up, we're talking about trades. How about Brandon Belt? Do you think it's time the Giants part ways with Brandon Belt if they can get something in return, Johnny?
Yeah, I've been hearing that. I can't imagine them doing it. And I can't imagine another team taking on that contract. But that's the name I've been hearing, you know. But you imagine, like, we talked about last week, like Brandon Belt in Cincinnati. I don't think they get rid of their first baseman, obviously. But can you imagine him in, like, a really hitter-friendly ballpark where he could hit 35 or 40?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't picture them getting rid of him now. He does have some value. I can't see them dealing him. I just can't see it.
They've loved him for a long time. But I agree. I think there'd be a number of teams who would say, oh, yeah, we'll take the left-handed power down the line in our ballpark.
Yes.
I mean, the Reds don't need him. But there'd be plenty of other teams that would say, really, you're offering a plus defensive first baseman who gets on a lot?
Yeah.
Obviously, the Giants don't appear to be in a hurry to get rid of anyone. It just depends who they have to give up to get back what they want. But what is it you think they most want, Kreitz, at this point?
Power. I mean, I don't think
more
that,
than pitching, more than more
well,
pitching?
I don't think they're under the delusion that they
then
can get
they want
their
power,
pitching
they're
solved.
Not, pardon me, but if they want power, they're not going to trade Brandon Belt, right?
Yeah, they might. If they got a power hitting outfielder in return, they might. Or if they got even a gap power hitting outfielder in return, they might. They might believe that they have an answer at first base in the pipeline. It could be Chris Shaw who's playing the outfield right now, but they might have an answer already. And
you've never liked Brandon Belt, have you, Mr.
Baseball? I'm saying he has value. I'm doing my best here. I'm saying he has value.
You did not answer my question.
Always hated him. But, no, I do think, though, that on a power-starved team, unless I don't think this is just my read of the market. I don't think the pitching help that they need is there. So you start looking out for what else you could get, and then it's a question of matching up with teams. And now I'm really free projecting because I really don't know, but I know Brandon Belt has trade value.
I think one of the things they may have to do here is bring up Beedy and Suarez at some point, and hope that they wow them so that next year, well, there's our pitching. I mean, Sabin was very cautious about that, but I think that's one of the most logical options, right?
Yeah. It's a very logical option. It also dovetails nicely with Bumgarner returning to the fold. So it's important to put Bumgarner back in the equation before you talk about the Giants pitching going forward.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason the indications are he's not sharp or he lost velocity that he may not regain, then you have an entirely different problem.
Yes.
But if he's back and at the front of your rotation, it changes everything about your rotation. Well, not everything, but it changes a lot about your rotation.
Johnny, what's the update from Salt Lake City?
It's a 1-1 game, top of the second inning. Siriaco, who's been on fire of late, will lead things off in the second. So 1-1, both teams one run, three hits in hitter-friendly Salt Lake. They're trying to get to John Lamb here. Pretty good crowd on this. They draw very well here, except on Sundays.
By the way,
who
knows? Yeah. Does anybody know? Does anyone know why the Salt Lake City baseball team is called the Bees?
Because they didn't used to be in Salt Lake? I don't know.
Utah's widely known as the Beehive State. Yeah.
Johnny, do you hear that a lot when you're in Salt Lake? Welcome to the Beehive State.
That's all I hear.
Okay.
Bees have long been a symbol of Utah. The state motto is industry, for which bees are known.
So the industrious little bees.
Yeah.
Still hate them.
All right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Johnny in Salt Lake City. Rise Guys here in Sacramento on the baseball show.